Let's start with religious bigotry. Is it as prevalent in Northern Ireland's middle classes as it is in working class areas? Well, at the start of Community Relations Week, just yesterday, the DUP's Jonathan Bell and Sinn Féin's Martina Anderson both had a pop at hidden sectarian attitudes in golf clubs in an apparent attempt to suggest just that. Have a listen to what they said.
Many communities may not paint their curbstones or put out flags, but scratch the surface and you find the prejudice and the hate, whispered behind closed doors or joked about in golf clubs or over dinner parties. Now, the challenge of decades of prejudice is one for all of us. We can try to hide it by painting over murals, by putting away flags, but it exists all the same.
Golf lovers have been up in arms at the comments. Here's what Jeff Bleakley from the Pro Golfers Association had to say.
I would disagree with what he said, but I will also be very disappointed in the fact that he seems to have singled out golf clubs as a perhaps hidden haven for sectarianism. I've been involved in golf clubs for 35 years professionally, and I, hand on heart, can say I've never experienced any level of sectarianism. And I've been fortunate enough to be attached to some high society golf clubs and some working class golf clubs, and I've never experienced it at either level.
0845 955 678, text 81771. And yesterday evening, Jonathan Bell apologised on the BBC's Stormont Today programme, calling his remarks clumsy.
I think the point that we all wanted to make today was that sectarianism is not confined just to working class communities. A clumsy use of language to a sporting body. Look, golf plays a vital role in our society. You look at what Rory McIlroy, Darren Clark, Graeme Madol, you look at the record numbers coming in from the Irish Open, you look at the positive contribution that golf has made to bringing groups together. So it was a clumsy comment, and there's sometimes if you make a clumsy comment, you say, I regret it and I'm sorry.
So he said sorry, but were the remarks clumsy, or do you think they're a true reflection of the problem of sectarianism throughout Northern Ireland, alive and well and living in our golf clubs? Do pick up the phone. I'd like to hear it, know what you think this morning. But on the line now with me is SDLP's Conal McDevitt and UUP leader Mike Nesbitt, and also the Sunday World's Jim McDowell. Good morning, gentlemen, to all of you.
Good morning.
I notice it's three gentlemen for a start, no women golfers, so I'll have to represent them. But Mike Nesbitt, you're a golfer, aren't you?
I do, yeah. I've been playing golf since I was a teenager, yes. And what I would say to you, Linda, is I think the comments tell us more about Jonathan Bell and Martina Anderson than they do about sectarianism. There's a member of Sinn Féin's Assembly support staff that I would see up here at Stormont regularly. I've known him for many years, and that's because I used to see him every year playing in the Pro-Am at the City of Derry Golf Club, where he is a member. So is she saying that this guy on her staff is a sectarian bigot?
So do you think sectarianism is not alive and well in golf clubs? Is it only in working class areas?
Well, those are two entirely different things to my mind, Linda. I mean, if Jonathan or you are saying...
I'm not saying anything.
...is a middle class sport, Jonathan would need to visit some of the golf clubs in his own constituency, never mind across Northern Ireland. Golf is not a middle class game. It ceased to be a middle class game when Severiano Ballesteros, who started life as a caddy from working class Spain, became a global superhero the way Rory McIlroy is today. I just find the comments are extraordinarily ignorant. Martina Anderson talked about behind closed doors conversations where sectarian comments that we don't hear about were being said, and they were doing absolutely fundamental damage to society. Nobody did more damage with behind closed doors conversations than the IRA planning to murder and bomb and create mayhem. We should move away from what was perhaps a clumsy comment, but to me, a revealing comment about where these two ministers are coming from.
Well, we did
talk about is there sectarianism across all classes? And of course there is. And I would refer you, as others have on previous shows today, to the wonderful Coasters poem by John Hewitt, which the first time I read it was a very uncomfortable reading coming from the middle classes myself. That fourth stanza opening with the quote, "You even had a friend or two of the other sort." We all recognise that to be some of my best friends are Protestant stroke Catholic. The DUP obviously wouldn't like the poem because it makes reference to the influence of a noisy preacher at the start of the Troubles, and we all know who that refers to.
Well, let me just say, we did ask Sinn Féin to come on this morning. They gave us a statement, though they didn't wish to join us in the programme. People shouldn't lose sight of what the junior ministers were saying. They were highlighting the fact that sectarianism exists throughout society in the North. For too long, the finger has been pointed at working class communities, and especially at times those who live in interface areas. This is debate that we all need to have in order to deal with and overcome sectarianism. We also asked the PUP to join us, and they suggested no, they didn't want to join us, and pointed us towards Jonathan Bell's comments. But let me bring in SDLP's Conal McDevitt. Conal, good morning to you.
Morning, Linda.
Clumsy, and he's apologised. Is that enough?
Well, I mean, look, I'm not a golfer, and I'd be one of those people who might, because I'm more of a runner and a footballer, might take a pop at golf just because I don't support the game particularly strongly.
Because it's easy to take a cheap pop at people who wear V-neck sweaters and check trousers. Is that why you would, Conal?
Well, I'd be more likely to have a pop at the old, you know, a good work spoiled adage than I would at trying to draw some analogy between golf and sectarianism in our society. I think it's a spurious analogy.
But you would quite like to make a wee pop if you could get away with it. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I'm a huge sports fan, and central to sports is positive rivalry. I mean, we've just witnessed one of the greatest rivalries in modern soccer play out over the past couple of days, and you know, the tales and the slagging as a result of what went on in Manchester will go on for months, and that's positive, because that's actually what we should be about, which is respecting and celebrating diversity rather than attacking difference. And what Jonathan did, whether he knew it or he didn't know it, and Martina was party to this, was they attacked difference. The difference they attacked was class, or what they perceived to be class. And, you know, people who go around through life attacking difference rather than respecting it are betraying an underlying prejudice. And that's the big problem we have in our society, is that sectarianism is pervasive in our society, and we do have a habit of attacking difference rather than respecting it. Now, I'm one of those people who's been sitting for the past nearly a year now, truth be told, trying to work through a new CSI document. And progress is glacial. It is exceptionally slow. And one of the reasons, and I don't want to break the confidence of the process, but one of the reasons it's very slow is that because, in my personal opinion, people are willing to change their language. They're willing to say things in a different way. But no one seems ready to change their behaviour. And, you know, I think we'll have moved on as a society when we tackle issues like flagging. You know, like the flying of flags in our communities, which do nothing but mark out territory and accentuate difference not in a respectful way. We'll move on whenever we put reconciliation at the heart of our programme for government, and it's nowhere near the heart of our programme for government. It's an aside. It's mentioned in passing in our programme for government.
But do you think if you scratch the surface, there is sectarianism in everyone? I mean, Jonathan
Absolutely.
Bell didn't suggest that this was happening in pigeon fanciers' clubs or in football clubs or in bowling clubs. He picked on golf clubs. He was trying to make a class issue.
Sectarianism is pervasive in our society, and that's different from everyone being sectarian, Linda. And I think it's very important that, you know, we take time to understand that. We all live, you know, whether we want to or we don't, in a divided society. And we're all affected by that. And so therefore, we're all responsible for challenging the way we conduct ourselves and the way we behave, and never behaving in a way that is insulting or that seeks to portray negatively other people or their interests. And what I think Jonathan is guilty of is picking on golfers or golf clubs. Why? Because I think he thought there was maybe an easy class point to be made, or maybe he thought there was an easy, quick political point to be made. But what it betrays, and what Martina and he both betrayed, is an underlying prejudice. And people who have prejudice will always fail to build reconciliation. What we need to do is to be able to move beyond the politics of this region, being simply, ultimately, about a prejudiced position, you know, about not being something else. And we need to actually find a way of being able to challenge ourselves. And we all have things. I mean, you know, the debate around education is a very difficult debate for the SDLP.
Well, we're challenging it this morning in the programme. If you want to pick up the phone and join in, I see the callers coming in already. Michael and Derry will come to you in a moment. The phone numbers, as always, 08459 555 678 and text and 81771. But Jim Madole, is it about, as I said, the V-neck sweaters and the check trousers? Is it a cheap pop at a section of the community trying to make them out to be something they're not? What do you think of golfers?
Yeah, well, I think what has happened is it's the biggest load of golf balls I've ever heard. We can use all the old sporting analogies, you know, scored an own goal, their bunkers rather than bunkers coming out with us at this time. I mean, I think it's entirely the most invidious thing about this attack and singling out a single sport is, at the moment, I believe sport is an unrecognized huge bridge that is actually pulling people together and bridging. If you look at Peter Robinson going to a GAA match, Martin McGuinness going to Windsor Park, you look at what the rugby has done, you know, politicians from all sides at the Aviva for Ulster in the semi-final of the Heineken Cup. Sport is playing such a huge role at the minute. Why this attack now, and why single out one sport? I've talked at rugby dinners, at golf dinners, the so-called guest speaker, and never once, and like rugby, never once I've played rugby through the four green fields of this country, the four provinces. I have never once at a rugby dinner, a rugby function, a golf function, I've never once heard sectarianism raise its head. And there are sports that are shared by everyone in this community. And I think just that this was a pop at the kind of grammar school syndrome. You know, rugby's supposed to be an elitist sport because people, it really started in grammar schools throughout Ireland. And golf is the same. It seemed to be a middle class, a kind of middle class castle up there, and it's easy to bombard and have a pop at.
Yeah,
now.
But Jim,
I think the timing of this is absolutely awful.
Jim, sport can be uniting, as you suggest, and everybody has rolled in behind sort of Darren and Graham and Rory, but it can also be divisive as well when you have the likes of Jim McLean choosing to play for the Republic rather than Northern Ireland. So, you know, it can go two ways. It can be just as divisive as it is uniting.
But listen, if you look at that, I mean, that whole thing is blown up. It goes back to Lennon whenever, you know, the BBC got a phone call saying that his life was under threat. He stopped playing for Northern Ireland. Fair enough. That's his individual choice. It's McLean's choice who he plays for. And if you look at all, you know, I was going to enter into this All-Ireland debate again. You look at all the teams that are at Olympic level, our boxing teams, or, you know, and rugby now, the Ireland team, and you look right across that whole spectrum. You know, it's easy to nitpick, and unfortunately, this negative nitpicking on golf. I don't know why they chose golf. I haven't a clue why they chose golf.
Well, Mike Nesbitt, would there be an apology in the post, so to speak, if rugby clubs have been singled out instead of golf clubs?
I've no idea. As I say, I think the comments tell us more about Jonathan Bell and Martina Anderson than they do about sectarianism in Northern Ireland. Nobody is disputing that sectarianism is pervasive to all classes of society. This is nothing new. I mean, the John Hewitt poem I referred to was written decades ago. But there are issues that need to be addressed, which Conal and the working group are looking at. It's taken 5 years.
Years too long, some might say.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I saw the first draft 2 or 3 years ago. I got halfway through and I lost the will to live. I mean, and what we need, first of all, is there a commitment to a shared future? And a good question to ask people, which would give you an indication of how pervasive sectarianism is who wants a shared future? Who's more comfortable living in their single identity status that a lot of people are in at the moment? I spoke to a businessman a while ago who had a very interesting take on things. He said, you know, a child is born, they live in houses in segregated housing estates. They go to segregated schools. A lot of the sports they play are segregated, and ironically, golf is a notable exception. Of course, the churches are separated, so the only space that is shared is the workplace. And that businessman felt that there was a lot of emphasis put on the business community and business leaders to achieve cohesion, sharing, integration, than on church leaders or on civic leaders or on politicians. And surely we don't want business people to do other than make profit, generate wealth, create jobs, and pay the taxes that fund our public services.
Conal McDevitt, you're on the Stormont Cross Party that's supposed to be finalising this long-awaited policy, as Mike says, 5 years on community relations. Is there any chance that we're going to see an actual document in the near future?
I think we could see a document, Linda. The question is whether
Been holding it up?
Whether the document is meaningful. And what's been interesting about the past couple of years is that we've seen a lot of gestures, and they're important, and I acknowledge them, and I always have. I think it is important that we show respect by being present at sporting events that wouldn't be normally associated with our community. But we need to go beyond gestures. And I would hope that we can see a document that, for example, deals with flagging, that allows us to put in place a system to regulate flag flying so as we can all respect those who fly flags, and also those who fly flags can respect the communities within which they've been flown.
Any chance we might see agreement on that?
Well, that's what I'm. Those are the benchmarks I'm setting. And, you know, my job here is to represent what I think is the overwhelming majority view in this region, which is a view that says that this is a difficult issue. A lot of us don't want to or would prefer not to have to deal with it, but we understand that we can't ignore it. And therefore, you know, a document to be serious about tackling sectarianism and tackling the causes of sectarianism needs to deal with issues like flags. It needs to deal with issues like shared housing. And we can't perpetuate a housing system that, because of our recent history, effectively condemns people who are relying on the state to provide their house, who live in a public house, to segregated housing. That isn't the way to go forward at all. That isn't progress in our society. And all of us need to get our head around how we make education more shared.
You can't make a homogenised society, though. You can't force people to live where they don't want to live.
Absolutely. But what the state can't do either, Linda, is abdicate its responsibility for building reconciliation. I mean, reconciliation can't just happen up from the grassroots up. And, you know, a lot of commentators and academics will point to the massive amount of work that's going on, particularly in working class communities, to build reconciliation and respect in those communities.
Well, maybe you should be working just as hard in the golf clubs if Martina Anderson and Jonathan Bell have got it right. Maybe that's where the work needs to be done.
Well, the irony is that there is more work going on at grassroots level across our society. And much of it is actually in the sporting organisations. I mean, Mike, and I'm sure you probably are aware of this, and I know Jim knows about it, knows the amount of work that's going on in the major football codes, in the IRFU and the GAA and the IFA to tackle prejudice and difference. But what we need to do is we need to see leadership. And you would think in a society like ours emerging for conflict that reconciliation would be the heart of government and it would be the heart of a programme for government. The sad truth of the matter is that despite all the gestures, all the good words, it isn't there.
It was certainly an easy target to suggest that there's sectarian attitudes and religious bigotry in golf clubs. And I must say, having played golf in the last 12 years, I have not come across any religious bigotry or sectarianism. I've come across people who are better golfers, worse golfers, lady golfers, men golfers. That's a whole different kettle of ball games and can of worms. But sectarianism, I have not